Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the SE7 podcast, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook in the studio with me. Firstly, I can't wait. I've waited all week for this show, but I can't wait to see what Rob's been tweeting, because if the excitement last week of Charlton being back in the Championship, beating Blackburn, beating Stoke now, 2 from 2, I don't care that it's only been 2 games played. Charlton, a second in the Championship.
It's been a fantastic start. Yeah, I haven't got quite round to tweeting that we're going to win the Champions League
Rob.
One step at a time, But I can definitely see Taylor Grace in Europe with some of his silky skills. Williams, Champions League, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, slightly disappointed that we're not top, actually, Charlie. I'm getting a little bit greedy. Yeah. But it was a fantastic performance, wasn't it, boys? And the valley was rocking. And it was good to see, because they've renamed officially now the north end, the covered end.
That's
so
right.
It's good that we got a good debut underway. We love kicking into the covered end, you know, in the second half, which I'm sure most teams have got their favourite ends to kick in. So that was wonderful. Stoke were a challenge, weren't they? I think in their previous game against QPR, we spoke to that chap last week and he said they were very passive. But Stoke did start very fast and gave us a few problems early on. But if you look at the stats, 3 shots on target, 3 goals, 1 corner and a goal from that corner. It's amazing stats.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you're talking about Stoke. They have some really quality players in there. One of them is meant to be Jack Butland, who, you know, is England keeper, Premier League recently. I was surprised just how poor he was, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was unsighted for Taylor's goal. Probably, I'm not sure. But they started well, I thought. And actually, basically, in that period, just after half-time when it was 1-1, I think Gregory had a really good chance. And had we been chasing the game, I'm not sure. It was a different picture, but we were really clinical. We've been really clinical this season. I think we've had the fewest shots over the first two games, but we've managed to get 5 goals.
We scored seven shots.
It's a ratio you want to be working with. Let's talk about Lyle Taylor's goal, because I did mention last week that I didn't think that he got a big touch. This week he definitely got a touch, but I think the keeper's got to do miles better there. I don't want this to become the I hate Lyle Taylor show, because I really enjoy watching him
He's
play.
A friend of the show.
Yeah, I know, and I'm a big fan of his. He's been on Love Sport many a time, but I'm... The keeper's got to do better there, hasn't he, on that goal?
He has. But I don't want to take anything away from Lyle Taylor's game, because what he brought to the game, he brought a bit of energy, a bit of danger going forwards. Yeah, the shot, he might have got a bit lucky with that Butland let go straight through him. But most importantly, I think him setting up the final goal, which actually, for me, was my favourite goal of the three. It's a corner routine, up to the front post, flip back. There's Gallagher running into it, smashed it past the keeper. That was a beautiful routine. And that's exactly what I was saying earlier in the season. The way we beat these teams who have better players than us is to outthink them. And that is clearly Boyer, Gallen,
Jacko on the set pieces.
Just sitting there looking at how Stoke set up and then finding a way of beating them. And it was really nice to see.
Well, Lee Boyer didn't take any credit for that third goal. Even Brett Shaw, the analyst, was involved in that. Andy Marshall, the goalkeeping coach, played a part in that. And it's great attention to detail. I think they only tried it 3 times, and that was possibly the first time it came off.
Absolutely, and great point, Ollie, in relation to outthinking these teams. You know, Boyer said at the start of the season, fitness levels as well. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes in terms of, I guess, what you could call marginal gains, where you work on things that over the course of the season are going to make a massive difference potentially for us as a team, not being, you know, we've got the lowest valued squad in the whole of the division. So they're looking at innovative ways to try and get victories. And we were definitely worth the win.
Yeah.
Well, another thing that Lee Boyer mentioned, he said afterwards, after in the press conference, he said his players need to start believing that they are championship worthy. They belong in this level. Is it also, we talk about the step up in class, but the players, the mental side, they have to realise we belong here. And is that starting to show? 2 games in, I know we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the players are like, yeah, we do belong here. We're not just here to starve off relegation. We can play.
Yeah, I think personally the likes of Williams and Prattley are Taylor. They're experienced players. Williams has played at a higher level. Prattley's journeyman experience, very, very... But you're right. Some of those players, the likes of Saar, perhaps, the ones that we brought up from Lockyer, we brought him up from Bristol Rovers. You know, you're right. It's that mentality and self-belief goes a long way. And Bowie is all about self-belief, isn't he?
Well, I think that self-belief was pushed to another dimension because there was one little incident in the second half when I think it was Ben Purity and he nutmegged the boy Alan, the Welsh international. And I thought the cheek of that was something to behold. That was wonderful to see. So there's a lot of confidence running through that team. And it's only after two games and they believe in themselves. And it showed on Saturday. I don't think there was any nerves out there, was there?
No, not at all. And that belief... is a step up from Blackburn. Blackburn, we came out surprisingly confident against them, but still understanding our limitations. But then going up against Stoke, there was barely any nerves at all. We just went straight out there and took them on.
Yeah, you can see that it didn't look any different the way we finished the game to some of the games we finished last season in League One. Granted, yeah. Stoke are a lot better than the teams we played, but the momentum and the way we won that game in the second half, for me, was very reminiscent of some of the games we won in the latter part of last season.
I think a big show of the belief is, you know, I was watching it and then when I see that Stoke got equaliser, I thought, here we come, here's the test now. What are Charlton going to say? It's 1-1. Are they going to fold a little bit? Stoke are going to pile on the pressure. It was 1-1 with Blackburn. Both times, they've never faltered in that moment. They've really showed their character, really showed who they are, and they've gone on to win those games. I think that's a big test of the belief as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I also think what plays a big part is once Lee Bowyer has had a chance to sort of look at the opposition, he seems to really re-galvanise Charlton teams. And he was doing this a lot last season when they were coming out in the second half. Mm. Particularly remember the performance at Sunderland at home, Luton Town at home. So he turns it round. And in his press conference afterwards, he said, we'll see how we are after the first 10 minutes of the second half. And then we might match them up for their diamond with our diamond. And I thought Charlton were the better side once we got over that miss by Gregory. We got away with that one, perhaps.
That hairy moment, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you look at it, I'm going back to the chat from the Sentinel last week that came on. Stoke didn't look a bad team. Unfortunate maybe not to take a couple of those chances that they had. But, yeah, would be interesting to see if we had gone 2-1 down, how we would have reacted.
How do you react? Yeah, that would be the test in the coming weeks. Ollie, you mentioned this is going to be a long championship season. There's going to be a lot of times in these games when Charlton don't have the most possession, when they don't have many shots on goal, even though that's proving to work out at the minute. But we're going to go through those games and that's going to be the key. But at the minute, you're going through those games because we look at the stats. Charlton, again, didn't have the most possession, didn't have the most shots, but you're picking up the 3 points. Is this really come, you know, January, February, March? These picking up the points then, they're going to matter.
Yeah, I was thinking about this not too long ago that at the beginning of the season, some of these, like Stoke especially, with a lot of new signings, still kind of finding their feet as a team, still trying to figure out what works best for them. And we've come into these games flying. If we pick points up early this season, and then if teams start finding their feet and start, you know, outdoing us, these early points can mean the difference between staying up and going down. So the fact we've started so strongly may be the difference come the end of the season.
I was going to say champions sort of make promotion, but yeah, that's...
Get on the same page. Well, we have to talk about then the legend that is Trucks and EK, because I'm not sure where he started. I think it was Arsenal. Yes. He did start there. Oh, it was, yeah. I thought my producer, Sam, and Stevenage. So we have to give that a shout out. But what a goal that was. He's another player. Signed on a free this summer. No transfer money there. He's another one that's coming into side. You sort of players popping up. Of course, you've just signed Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea. There's a few names in and around the mix. Is this really an exciting time?
Yeah, very impressed with the players that come in. I got the opportunity to have a close look at Chucksaniki in the pre-season. And as he got into his stride, I mean, I was so impressed. He's quite a unit up front there. And for that goal on Saturday, I thought to myself, all you got to do, lad, is just keep it down. And I knew that was going in the net because obviously some of these chances, they just fly over the bar and disappoint you. But once that it was kept down, it was always going in the net. And what a way to start your Charlton career. And the same for Conor Gallagher. I mean, two debut boys and two goals. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and I was pleased for Gallagher because I thought in the first half it was quite difficult for him to find space as the tip of our diamond, if you like. I think Stoke had more possession in that part of the the pitch, and he sort of grew into the game, and he got better and better, and he was ruthless that finish, and yeah, really pleased.
And I think what we got to take into consideration, I mean, he's a young lad. This was his first full proper professional match. He had four games in the Checker Trade with Chelsea last season. He sat on the bench in the Europa League final. Granted, he's the player of the year in Chelsea's academy, so we know his potential. But to go out there in that cauldron that is the Valley and to perform like he did, especially in the second half, and he was some people's man of the match.
Yeah, and he would have deserved that as well. And, you know, like you were saying, we seem to play so much better when we're shooting towards the covered end, and that's not changed all season long. And it's great to see him score in front of the covered end to start his basically his professional career. I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, that's the pinnacle of anyone's career, isn't it?
Yeah. And he took it well, because you've seen those, as you say, there were bodies in front of him, just put it nicely into the bottom corner. And I actually felt great to see him and Gallagher perform so well, but Cullen came back, looked superb.
Oh, yeah, really different class.
Yeah, really good. Just came back in where he left off last season, and it didn't faze him that he stepped up a level into the Championship. He looks like he can more than hold his own there.
We're talking about Chucks and Gallagher there then. Another thing that I picked up on, maybe you did more in the game, is that when they scored them goals or they had their moments, they looked so pleased to be there. It wasn't just about the goal. I just felt like, I'm not sure if this is planned for Bowyer. I'm not sure if this is Cholton, or they're finally getting games. You mentioned only four games last year for Gallagher. They just seemed like they really wanted to be part of this team, this fan set, this squad. And it's almost like here's the start of the journey now.
I mean, as a fan, what more do you want? It's watching people play for your team with that much passion. That is literally all you want to see week in, week out. People scoring and pleased to be there. And so it's really, really nice to watch that.
And even at the end, like, we do a little tunnel jump when we've won at home, tradition from Chris Powell's days. And Taylor's taken it on, and he did it with Lecco, the boy loaned from West Brom, and it was quite good. There was a video going around on Twitter of some young lad had caught them in the tunnel before. Lecco didn't really know what to do, but Taylor's sort of helping him. This is what we do when we win at home, the tunnel jump. So yeah, fitted in, and they look happy to be there, and it looks really good, positive signs.
Charlie, I was just going to sort of, the unsung heroes from Saturday, again for me, like at Blackburn, was Darren Pratley. Yeah. I thought he had another great game, cemented and solidified that midfield, and his experience is coming to the core. And this is the great thing we've got at the moment with Charlton. He's brought in youth and experience and is mixing it up very well indeed.
I want to talk about Pratley a little bit, because you lot mentioned him on last week's show, and I thought, I'm going to keep an eye out for him in this weekend's game. And I don't like this phrase, doing the dirty work, but he does the messy stuff, just the clearing it up, just sweeping it up. And those players, they are so vital. They're never going to get the credit. They're going to be your unsung star every week. But you need a player just to keep it ticking over, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Like you say, not doing the fancy stuff, not doing pretty stuff. He's not going to score a goal. But if he takes their best player out of the game, if he's going to catch loose balls...
Just as important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to win games. And he does that stuff so well. He's a big part of the fact that we won these two games.
And the way he kicked on, because he... didn't get in the... There was a period last season where he wasn't in the team, and he came back in the team towards the end of the season, and how integral he was, you know, getting that goal at the second leg against Doncaster. And for me, it just seems like he's another one of these players like Purrington that have kind of continued how well they were playing towards the back end of last season, and he's doing such a good job, and he must be such a good influence for some of those youngsters coming through.
I just want to quickly turn the table then. Let's talk about Stoke, because they did have their chances, and on another day in another team, a team could have taken them. I don't want to say defensive vulnerabilities, but they had a few. They really should have put away a couple over the bar. When you come up to maybe a different side, is this a bigger concern?
Yeah, definitely. There would be.
And I think you touched upon it well there. Stoke as an attacking unit are very, very good. And you could allow yourself to be a little bit fearful looking at that lineup before the game. And just getting back to Pratley, he just gets in their face and he's just not concerned about reputations. So, yeah, looking at that team sheet, we could have been a little bit overawed.
Yeah, and I felt for the goal that Ince scored, I think Lockyer was a bit soft. I think in the challenge, the guy that flicked it on to him down and then I think Phillips just a bit caught out over the other side of the goal trying to get back. I don't know. You look at these things, but then, you know, you say that, as you rightly said, that they didn't take some of those chances that you thought, well, yeah, if they had done, different game.
Although, to give Jack Butland a bit of praise, if you look at the goal back, it's a good bit of distribution by Butland because he puts a quick ball upfield. It's a nice header assist by Gregory, and I think Lockyer just gets that little touch, doesn't he?
Well, I think he couldn't get ahead of Gregory there. That was the issue.
Yeah, he was kind of in the wrong position. But it was a wonderful shot. It was a superb goal, actually, I thought.
It was a goal, but didn't matter because it was 3-1 Charlton. We are talking about the Addicts, and next we're talking to former player Bradley Pritchard.
Love Sports.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the boys from the SE7 podcast, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook in the studio. I'm delighted to say we also have Bradley Pritchard on the phone, our ex-Charlton player. Bradley, thank you for joining us. Charlton are off to a flyer. 2 games, 2 wins in the Championship. What are you thinking of Lee Bowyer's side so far?
Yeah, it's pretty easy stuff, this Championship, isn't it?
Certainly is.
You know what? I don't know what all the worry was about. It's been a fantastic start. I think it's certainly just built on the momentum that was built towards the end of last season. So it's definitely the positive news that a lot of fans have been looking forward to.
Bradley, I'm sort of drawing some parallels with your own experiences when you came up from League One after we won the title 2011-12. Yeah. So you had that first season in 12-13. How did you adjust both personally and collectively as a team going into that Championship back then?
Now, you know, I think there was a lack of knowledge of our team. A lot of the boys were stepping up into a level that we didn't really know much about. So we were, you know, we were stepping into the unknown, and we felt like we had to work, twice as hard to be just as good as other teams. We were playing against established players, established teams. So we knew that we were going into virtually every game as an underdog. I think there's a similar parallel there. You're certainly right about that. You know, there's a lot of boys who feel like they've got points to prove, and that definitely comes through. So, I agree with you. You know, there are definitely parallels between our team and this year's.
Yeah, and Bradley, we saw on Saturday, and we raised the point just a few minutes ago on the show. We think that Bowie has been very clever the way that we're working on things like set pieces, fitness levels, things that we think we may have to do to have those kind of gains, marginal gains that perhaps because we're not one of the strongest teams in the division on paper. Was that kind of a part of what Powell did when you guys went up in that season? Did you work on anything specifically that you thought were going to kind of give you the advantage?
Yeah, I think, set pieces were definitely something. We had fantastic set piece takers. You know, we had Danny Green, Johnny Jackson, both of them could take free kicks, corners, and we had some big players. You know, Leon Court Michael Morrison.
Don't forget Jan.
And obviously Jan. Yeah. Jan was probably one of the best headers of the ball I've ever seen. So you had guys who could really make the most out of set piece deliveries. I definitely agree that's one of the best ways to capitalize, because you know that this league is all about the fine margins. You know, there's going to be 1-0, you're going to be scraping, you're going to be back to the wall type of performances. So you need to be able to withstand those times where the ball's been pumped into the box, and you know you've just got to just throw bodies in front of the line, in front of the ball. So I think he's been very clever with that, especially with fitness levels. You know, it's a relentless league, so you need to be prepared to go that extra half yard further than your opponent. So I agree. That's a good move.
Absolutely, and in that environment where it's locked back to the wall, defending ugly games, the team spirit is a really, really important thing. Charlton coming up from League One with you in the squad, obviously, famously had a very strong, very good team spirit, and that's probably a big thing that spurred us on the Championship. Do you see a lot of parallels between our team now, as you can see things on social media, the players all getting along together? Do you see a lot of parallels there between then and now?
I think, yeah, the team spirit is huge. Yeah, you're right. When we were when we had gone to the championship, you know, the boys, we, you know, I don't think I've been in a closer group of players, and like I think it showed, and it came across. We certainly outperformed, I think. And you look at the boys now, again, I agree with you, you know, I'm sort of repeating myself, but yeah, you see the similarities, you see the parallels there. But what I think you will see is there are, you know, there are specific players there who are talismen. You know, Lyle Taylor is obviously one of them, and you see players who are playing, who fans want to see in the squad because they make a difference, because they actually, you know, they contribute to goals, assists, whatever it is, but they're the ones who kind of just make that difference in a game that really is finely balanced.
Bradley, obviously we're keeping our feet on the ground. It is only two games in. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. But yeah, with those two wins from two games, have Charlton's expectations changed a little bit this season? Or what can we expect Charlton to do this year?
Sorry, that was a sigh that you just heard there. Because I'm really minded to try and boost up expectations. You know, I don't want to sound pessimistic, but I just want to try and be realistic. You know, I just
completely, yeah,
want us to survive and then push on from there. Look, every win is hard fought. That goes without saying. But I think it's just a case of making sure we're safe first. Then afterwards, you know, we'll let ourselves dream. You know, again, similar to our situation when we first went up, you know, it was certainly a case of let's just try and survive. I think we were still underdogs for a lot of the season, but creating those runs, you know, just putting runs together is so vital in this league. And you know, if you can put a run together straight from the start, that's the confidence that you need just to separate yourselves.
Yeah, and of course, Bradley, that 2012-13 season, once we found our feet, one of our most famous victories that season was a fabulous 6-0 or 6-1 win up at Oakwell, who are our opponents this coming Saturday. What do you particularly remember of that game? And am I right in thinking, did you score a goal that day?
Yes.
Yeah.
I scored. I was in my a free scoring midfielder then. I had one then, and then one against Middlesbrough a couple of weeks later. So that, but yeah, that was certainly a highlight for us. I think I had one assist and one goal and a couple of assists there. But I know because obviously I try to remember these things. But I've got fond memories of playing in that game. For me, just one of my favorite games, I think, would have to be Leicester City at home, and yes, that was towards the start of the season. Again, similar to this team now, you know, an early win against a promotion favorite. It just set the bar. It set the tone, and it gave everyone a bit of confidence. And just helped to maybe, you know, allay any fears that we had about stepping up onto that level. And you know, it's a similar sort of situation now.
Yeah, I remember it well when Kermigan scoring against Leicester again, which was quite good. Bradley, and yourself personally, I know last time we spoke with you, you came on and you talked about all of the work you're doing in the club around the education and welfare that you do once a week. I imagine obviously it's summer holidays at the moment, so what are you up to yourself personally at the moment? That's still something that you're doing with the club, and your other activities yourself?
I mean, as we speak, I'm just doing some program content for next season, and I think that's hopefully something that we're going to be running in other clubs, in other academies this season. So I'm quite excited about that. As well as that, I'm one of the judicial panel members for the FA. So if anyone you know, if there's ever an issue of, I don't know, if someone's charged with I don't know, sending off, or if there's an issue of betting or any drugs and things like that, and then it goes towards the FA, and the FA charge whoever the that player is. They will then sit in front of an independent panel of members, where you know we it's where we will decide, you know, the outcome. So it's the FA's disciplinary procedure, I guess. So I've been doing a lot of those hearings at the moment. So it's been quite a full on summer.
Well, Bradley, we wish you well with that, and we really appreciate you giving us some time tonight. Thank you for that. I'm sure we'll speak to you later in the season when maybe Charlton have played 6-1-6. So we really appreciate you giving us some time. Bradley Pritchard there, ex-Charlton. Really nice guy. I had a lot to say. He sent Rob that he does a lot in the club.
Yeah, definitely. He's just a wonderful chap. As I say, he's now...
speaks sense.
Yeah, and he's extending out. And I think that role he's just described... is it's good, because obviously as an ex-footballer he knows the situations that you could be placed in, so he'll take all that on board when they're giving their evidence.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like every time we've had him on the show before, he's so well spoken, concise, puts his points across really well, and I can imagine really popular guy when he was at Charlton, and really good to see that, you know, he's doing that for the club and sort of helping us continue all of the good work we do around the community side of things, I guess.
Yeah, and also, he's still fairly sort of fresh in my memory. He's one of these players that we can all draw strength from. I mean, he only came onto the scene in Charlton in his mid-20s. He was just playing non-league for Hayes and Yedin, I think. And he was just doing some stats work for Charlton. And I think Chris Power obviously took a look at him, and before he knew it, he was in the side. So dreams do come true.
Dreams do come true. But I don't mean you're going to get a start this season at some point further down the line.
You've been doing all the stats, though.
Yeah. Yeah, on the Railway 11, you know your knowledge there.
Exactly. Yeah. I could give you all the numbers of the steam engines from 1964 onwards. Say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking a little bit about the great start to life in the Championship. It wasn't all fantastic news this week when we did play in the League Cup and we did crash out on penalties. We're going to be talking a little bit about that next, and we might have another special guest.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined in the studio with the SE7 podcast, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook. And I'm delighted to say we were going to talk about the Carabao Cup. We are still going to talk about the Carabao Cup. We've been talking about the game with Stoke. But of course, we have been joined by Ahmed on the line. Ahmed, great to have you with us tonight. How are you feeling after the two games in the Championship?
Excellent result against Stoke. I agree totally with what everyone said about the first half. We were very tentative, very nervous. We made a couple of mistakes. Fortunately, Stoke didn't capitalise, because they could have gone in 3-1 up at half time. I said to myself in the second half, whoever gets the next goal is going to go on to win. And lo and behold, with that clever substitution Chuck Sinike turned up with the second goal, and then there was only one team in it.
Yeah, I noticed, Ahmed, just before there was a bit of a conflab going on between Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson about Chuck coming on. And they did it again. Those guys on the bench brought him on, and there he was to score his debut goal. It was just wonderful stuff.
They're doing a fantastic job. One thing to bear in mind, Nathan Jones after the game actually admitted, put his hands up and said his substitution, he got it all wrong.
Yeah, interesting.
His one didn't work at all. He said, if anything, it made Stoke even less effective than they were beforehand.
Yeah, he was getting a bit of criticism from the... I was going on the Stoke City fans forum after the game, and he was getting a bit of criticism for his subs, actually, Ahmed. So,
yeah,
good point.
Well, a lot of managers have been there, so... also, I think the Forest Green game, well, I thought it was a pretty open game. We had the better chances, didn't take them, and basically we lost in the penalty shootout. I think Bowyer was a bit over the top criticising all the players. I mean, Lapsley actually had a very good second half. Yes, I agree, as it was a scratch side, we didn't play as fluently as we would normally do, but we should have won the game anyway in 90 minutes.
Ahmed, always disappointing to go out of the League Cup, but is the focus purely on the Championship this season? No one wants to go out in the Cup, but you did play a slightly weaker side. Now you can just concentrate on the league?
Exactly, 100%. The other reason I rang up was I wanted to get your views on the Tamer Hamed and the Ertan Osterman situations now, because Osterman's actually available now as a free agent after his contract was ripped up.
Yeah, really good point, Ahmed.
And God knows what the EFL and the FA are doing about our alleged transfer of Hamed.
Yeah.
It's beyond me.
Well, I've been saying for a long time I want Osterman to be playing for Charlton. He's a brilliant player. He managed to score a header against us, even though he's 5 foot. And unbelievable player. And now he's been linked with us for a long time. And the fact that he's free now means that he should be getting on the books if the EFL let us get any transfers in at the moment, because I've no idea what's going on with the Tamer Hamed one.
Well, I think he's a free agent, but the other thing as well is he put in his notice paperwork before the transfer window actually shut. So although it was only torn up today, I think technically he's a free agent who could sign for any club outside of the window.
Absolutely, and Lee Bowie is really upset about the Hamed situation, isn't he?
Because, I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he was apportioning quite a lot of blame, I think, indirectly or directly to the EFL. They should give a little bit more time. Obviously, Bolton and Bury are probably their uppermost
well,
in their mind.
That's what Bowie was hinting at, I believe. Yeah. He said that, didn't he? One thing to bear in mind with the Tamer situation was, though, is that our appeal against it went to the FA board, and then the FA board have knocked it back down to the EPL and said it's your responsibility, not ours, to sort it out.
Yeah, and I guess it's difficult with this one because I don't think the EFL have covered, personally, I don't think they've covered themselves in glory over the last few months with all of the different issues going on in football. And yeah, so it's an interesting one. You're right.
I got a little tweet this morning. John from Thailand brought up the point, just going back a week to that transfer window when we were allegedly looking at Ivan Toney coming in from Peterborough. Again, allegedly, a £4 million bid was turned down. What were your thoughts on that, and how do you think that could have transpired? Do you think that was possibly a direct replacement for Taylor, or would it...
Yeah, I do. I think the arrangement, Bowie's arrangement was that if he could get Toney in, then Lark could leave.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it was a like for like. You know, basically, he wanted Toney in to replace Lark if Lark insisted on making a move.
Yeah, because we would have got the $2 million from Dick Steele, but as Rob
was... Well, I think we used that on other areas.
Of course, yeah.
So
we just wanted to clear up that point, but we can only surmise.
I could be totally wrong. Maybe he wanted to partner Lar with him. I don't know. I don't know Lee Bowyer's, you know, mind or tactics around that. That just seemed the obvious, you know, reason for trying to sign him. That was all.
Well, we really appreciate you calling us tonight, Ahmed. Thank you always for your call. Really good to talk to you as always. We are going to talk a little bit about the Carabao Cup then, because us three haven't discussed it in the studio. He did go out to Forest Green. I'm gutted that it wasn't an away game. Paul, you could have got the Forest Green credit for
Rob would have come. He would have been all over that new ground. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how was the game against the Vegan Warriors?
Well, I mean, there's not much to talk about, really, is there? I mean, it was 0-0. It was a few chances here and there. I think Naby Sarr had a really, really, really good chance. It was in the first half, I think, from a corner. Went straight into the goalie's face. He didn't know much about it, but he kept it out somehow. And then we had a penalty second half, which, of course, was really poorly taken by Forster Kasky, which is a shame because he's really coming back from injury, playing quite well. So it's a shame he didn't manage to get a goal there. Then when it went to penalties, you just never felt like we were gonna win it. It looked like we were going to lose just from the minute the penalty started.
Yeah, and post-match, Bowyer came out and said they didn't do enough. I know there were a lot of youngsters in there, but
it was a completely different team, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely, but I think I was pretty much, you know, wouldn't judge them on that one performance because a lot of them were, you know, Fields coming in for the first time, not played much in pre-season. You know, you've got Oshilaja and Sarr coming together for the first time as a centre-back partnership. But Bowyer said, he came out and said that only really Amos and Sarr came out of it with any credit. And for the likes of the Forster Kaskis of this world, and maybe even Morgan, it was an opportunity to do more.
Yeah, possibly. And I'm not sure if I totally agree with Ahmed. I normally do agree with Ahmed because he's such a wise, wise man. But as that game grew and carried on, it was just becoming a real poor display. So much so that by about the 80th minute, Charlie, we were discussing, myself, Rob, and your dad, and surmising that we were playing two teams with Forest in their name, because obviously we've got Nottingham Forest next week. So these are the sort of things we would, you know...
the game was that bad.
Yeah, so we were sort of digressing a little
bit.
Well,
I asked Ahmed then, I want to ask you the same question. Obviously, it was a weaker side. We know that the focus is the Championship. Is there just an element of, look, it's the Cup, we don't care, Brad? Or, you know what, I would like to see a bit of a stronger side, because we have made a good start, and maybe see what we can do in a Cup. Because it is still August.
No, I think given the squad depth and the players we've brought in, although we had a very good end to the transfer window, I still don't think it would have been right to play some of the first team regulars. You know, it's always disappointing when you lose a game. I think there was that issue with the Doncaster FA Cup game last season where Bowyer took a bit of stick for his selection choice, but obviously it proved to be the right thing in the end because we went up by the league. And yeah, I mean, we've also got a very proud tradition that we like to go out first round of the Carabao Cup every season. So I wanted to see that carry on. I mean,
we did it very well indeed. Yeah, it was a bit of a boring game for a lot of it. But one thing I did notice was how ugly Forest Green Rovers kit was. Have you seen that?
It's made of bamboo straw.
Yes,
great.
Indeed, that was their away kit. We thought it was a bit Coventry City.
Reminiscent of Coventry City in the 90s for me. Yeah.
It was strange because I watched the penalty shootout. They showed it on Sky, and I was watching it live. And I went, and then the guy I was co-hosting with, Willie, said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I want Charlton to go through, but I said I do the fan show in Charlton." I went, "I don't think they want to go through." So I went, "It's quite a difficult one to cheer for."
Well, I think compared to last season when we went out so meekly to MK Dons 3-0 at Stadium MK, I mean, I think Bowyer, and he said it in his press conference, I think he was really annoyed that we did lose that game because he obviously thinks of these League Cup games, if we got second and third round, he could have got more minutes into these fringe players.
And he probably would have thought that the team he put out should have been, you know, good enough to beat them. So that probably disappointment, because he obviously he takes pride in the team regardless of the team that goes out there. And he probably wanted to see the likes of Bond and Morgan and Kasky, you know, really make a stamp and say, look, I want to be challenging for selection on Saturday.
Mm. Well, let me ask them, because they say when you have a good cup run, it can benefit the side. It can help make a positive impact on your league form. You've started 2-2 in the Championship. Can a loss like this maybe lose a bit of that momentum? Can it be detrimental to the league form?
Yeah, I mean, you could think about it that way. I remember the last time we had a good cup run, which was a little while ago, back in... can't remember the season, about 13-14, when we got to Sheffield United in the quarters.
18-13-14.
Sorry.
Yeah. When was the last time we had a good cup run?
We got to the quarters, didn't we? We were one game away from Wembley. It was a decent cut run, and we were looking at relegation, but I think the cut run did help us, you know, survive that season. And I think it can have the opposite effect as well, that, you know, one loss can really shake you. But, you know, as we were saying, none of that 11 played, or at least started against Stoke. So, you know, it may affect players that aren't, you know, starting regularly.
Well, hopefully it won't affect the league too much because you do play Barnsley this week. And next, we'll be talking to Carlo from the Reds Report.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the SE7 podcast, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook. And I'm delighted to say we have Carlo from the Red Report on the phone with us now to talk a little bit about Barnsley. Carlo, I spoke to you a few weeks back on the Fulham Fan Show. You thought you weren't going to get a result there. Fulham, they spent the money. They was coming down from the Premier League to face you. But no, you turned them over. Now you face Charlton. Be careful this time. This is the Charlton Fan Show. What are your thoughts ahead of this weekend's game?
It's a really awkward one, isn't it? Because I suppose from a Barnsley point of view, Charlton kept the main threat. So the main players, and I'm talking about like a Lyle Taylor, is still there. We had a fantastic start against Fulham. Can't deny that. We follow that up with a standard like most of it, 63% possession against Sheffield Wednesday at Hilton.
Carlo, I think we've lost Carlo there. We're going to try to call him back because it was a terrible line. And Carlo is normally fantastic form. He might have just been saying that Barnsley are going to win and I've just muted it on purpose. But before we get Carlo back with us, you are playing Barnsley. They've had a mixed start. They did beat Fulham and then did they draw? No, they lost to Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday. They look fantastic. They're top. Sheffield Wednesday. Charlton is second. What have you made of Barnsley so far?
Yeah, they look. I mean, they for me, this would be a. I mean, they're all going to be tough, but this one, I don't think Barnsley lost at home all last season.
They haven't lost since January, I don't think.
Okay, so that's and we got given the runaround up there over Christmas. They look very good. Granted, I think we were missing Aribo. So it's going to be a tough game. I personally think we can carry on our good form and give them a run for their money. But they've got some good players. Wilkes, that was on loan at Doncaster last season, that gave us a lot of trouble at the Valley in the playoffs. So, yeah, dangerous game, I think, for us this one.
Well, hopefully a man in the know about Barnsley. Carlo, are you with us?
I am. Well, I'm hoping I am. I've been talking non-stop and nobody heard me.
What you done there, you probably provided radio gold and now you're like, oh, I can't spill it out again. But if you would be so kind, Carlo, what do you think of this weekend's game?
It's an awkward one. So if you go back a couple of weeks after the Fulham match, full of confidence, you know, we looked at a team that's come down from the Premiership, you know, we gave them a match, we didn't let them get in their stride, and obviously we won 1-0. That's been followed by a defeat away at Hillsborough, Sheffield Wednesday, South Yorkshire Derby, where 63% possession, which is huge for an away match, especially against a team like Sheffield Wednesday, but they won 2-0 because of two mistakes that we made. Daniel Standall asked for a reaction when we faced Carlisle, the mighty Carlisle, on Tuesday night at Oakwell, and we got, to be fair, played off the pitch 3-0. And that's worrying because I just heard you talk about our unbeaten record. As a Barnsley fan, I'm saying it's still unbeaten because it's league form that counts, not the Carabao Cup. So the last league defeat at Oakwell was in March 2018, so it's well over 500 days now. And we need to see a reaction. And I think, especially against Chef Wednesday, we saw that the key players that have left, you're talking Kiefer Moore, Ethan Pinnock and Liam Lindsay, that's where the sort of issues arose for us. So up front, Coley Woodrow looked isolated, thinking at the service. And at the back, Bambo Diaby and Mats Anderson did really well, but he wants to play it out of the back, and when midfield doesn't come to help, we were just under pressure every time we got the ball. So it's I don't think it's going to be as easy as some of the Barnsley fans might actually think, because you've kept the main striking thread, and you know, two teams, I suppose for both teams this is a game you want to win, isn't it? You look at Luton for us, and you look at Charlton, and you think, right, we need to win that. But I don't think a lot would have to be improved given the last two defeats since last Saturday.
Yeah, it's been a funny one, Carlo, because we weren't expecting that start in a million years to come up and get two wins from our opening two games, given the opposition. And at the start of the season, we'd have probably been looking at this one potentially as our first opportunity for points, perhaps, had we not got anything on the board. But yeah, both teams were promoted. You guys, Wilkes gave us a tremendous lot of trouble in the playoff game for Doncaster. You know, is he someone like him going to be a danger man? He seems to have settled in quite well. He's a good player.
Yeah, he has. I think Wilkes, Connor Chaplin, who we were interested in last year, decided to sign on at Coventry and then join the Reds this year. We always thought, especially when we knew that Kiefer Moore was going, that it was all about service to the striker, which Woodrow, and we just brought a new German lad in. And I think Wilkes and Chaplin were the two identified targets that will be able to play the type of football that Barnsley play. Now, Wilkes had a fantastic, absolutely fantastic match against Fulham. You know, he got a yellow card when he came off because he clapped everybody, you know, 6,000 people in the stand, and it's almost like he clapped them personally, every single one. You know, the kit man, the physiotherapist, the stadium announcer, they all got a clap before he actually left the pitch. But it's what we needed. It's somebody like that, there's a fine line between sort of self-assurance and arrogance, and sometimes he's maybe on the wrong side of the line, but there's nothing wrong with that. Chaplin's not started a match, a league match. He came on as a substitute twice. He did start in the Carabao Cup, but he was part of that team that got played off the pitch 3-0 and was actually substituted by Daniel Standall in the second half. So I think we can probably look at Wilkes to be more of a danger for us in the next few weeks rather than Chaplin, who looks like he might need a bit more time to settle in to our way of playing.
Now, Carlo, Lee Bullen, the Sheffield Wednesday manager, watched you very closely in that opening day win against Fulham, and he learnt that you pressed the Cottagers to death. So do you intend to press Charlton to death on Saturday?
It seems to be the only way that Daniel Standall knows how to play. I was talking to some fans for our podcast after the Carlisle match and the Sheffield Wednesday match, and people are saying it's a fantastic way, and when it works, it looks really, really good. If it doesn't work, we revert to plan B. And when you open the envelope and it says plan B, it says try plan A again. and that's where we're becoming unstuck at the moment. So a team like Sheffield Wednesday almost, I suppose, invited us up to a certain point and then played us at our own game.
Yes,
and
it's
they
what
had
they did.
A bit more experience, and that counted. So, yeah, it is the way of Daniel Stendel to play. You press him, and the opponent should get, on average, I think it's 7 or 8 seconds before you get the ball back in your possession. But he's German, isn't he? So he will stick to that.
Carlo, you mentioned then that you did have the possession against Sheffield Wednesday. We know how good Barnsley are at home. Is it almost a tale of two teams? Barnsley very strong at home, but then when they're away, they falter ever so much.
I think it is. And I think at one point that momentum carries you, doesn't it? It's sometimes when players come and they can only give 90%, I truly believe that an unbeaten record for so long, and I think the fans react different to that as well. You know, Oakwell at times was a bit of a, almost like a morgue. You know, if we were playing League One and we were 1-0 down, it's like there was no atmosphere. But trying to keep this intact, there is that 12th player. But then away from home, it seems, especially this season, that takes a little bit more sort of like adjusting to. And then especially, I mean, we did our show today, and obviously I did some homework on Charlton. Is it right? I think one of the stats I saw that you've had in two league matches 6 shots, but you scored 5 goals.
Yeah.
And obviously we got 3 shots in the Sheffield Wednesday match, didn't score any. I don't think we forced the keeper into a save on Tuesday. So given that, I think this is probably the first time in a long, long time where I worry about our undefeated home form being intact at 4:45 on Saturday.
All right. Well, Carlo, you got off to a really good start being Fulham. Obviously, Fulham coming down from the Premier League, some really good players in there. And there must be something carrying over from, you know, your great League One season. We at John, we were talking about we may not have the best team, but the team spirit and the tactical awareness of our coaching staff is actually going to carry us through this season. What would you say is the greatest strength that Barnsley have this season to keep them strong?
It's really hard, because I would have said towards the end of last season, and when we all got promoted, I would have always said that the team spirit in the team was just absolutely immense, and we had some real leaders in that team. Now, a few of these leaders were Kiefer Moore, Ethan Pinnock and Liam Lindsay, and they've all gone. The skipper's gone, you know, he's a stalker, Adam Davies, and that togetherness showed definitely that first game of the season. It was there. It's gone missing in these last two matches. So I'm hoping Daniel Stendel's had a good look around Oakwell and found it, because we'll need it. And I'm not just saying it because, you know, I was very open and honest, and I always am, but I am worried, because I think people think, oh, this is Charlton, look at our home record. But I look at the last two matches and I've not seen anything that tells me that we're not going to struggle, because I think we are. And I think Kiefer Moore has probably missed more than people thought he was. He was unproven in the Championship, yes, I'll give you that. But 6'7" will always give defenders something to think about. And Coley Woodrow, at times, looks extremely isolated and has to come really deep to get the ball, which is great. But then if there's no one to play off to, it's useless possession, isn't it?
Carlo, when we spoke to you 2 weeks ago on the Fulham show, you made the Fulham fans very happy. You said Fulham were going to win, but in turn you made yourself happy because Barnsley got the win. What are you predicting this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if I need to use reverse psychology or not, but no. In fact, my mate, big Barnsley fan, sat with me here in the office. And I'll be honest, I think it's going to be Barnsley 1, Charlton 2. I really think, given the last two performances, that something's going to break, and it's down to Daniel Stendel to make sure it doesn't. But what you've shown is that you're lethal in front of goal, and what Barnsley have shown so far is that we need 5 or 6 attempts before we can score one, and I think that's going to count against us on Saturday. I really do.
We're surprised at that in the studio. Carlo, thank you for giving us time tonight. Really appreciate it. Always enjoy your views. Carlo from the Red Report there.
Cheers, Carlo.
Just very quickly, he reckons Charlton 3 from 3 could be flying, going to get a result against Barnsley. I've got to push you all 3 very quickly. Paul, what's your score?
0-2 defeat, I'm afraid.
Paul. You're not continuing the party line, mate.
Nailed on to lose now, Carlo said that, but I think we'll win 2-0.
Rob, get those tweets ready. Champions League.
Yeah, Carlo's got it spot on. It's going to be 2-1 to Charlton.
2-1 to Cholton. So you're going to go after you got the away result at Blackburn. You're going to get the away result at Barnsley, yeah?
That's but don't right, forget, yeah. Charlie, I did predict an away defeat at Ewood Park.
Oh, so it's almost like reverse psychology from you as well. Are you trying to backtrack, Paul?
Well, you know,
you got the Forest Green prediction.
I got the Forest Green prediction right. Went out on penalties, yeah. So we'll see.
And have you got your books ready for the coach journey?
Yeah. Trees by Colin Tudge.
Oh, wow. I've read that one. That is a blinder, that one. Classic. Honestly, Colin, one of my favourite authors. Honestly, I'm not lying.
He's listening in.
Is he?
Yes.
Well, it's genuinely one of my favourite books. Book of Trees. We're talking about Barnsley Cholton up against Oakwell, up at Oakwell this weekend. I'm predicting a draw for the Addicts. Life to the Championship, unbeaten. This has been Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.